Welcome to the Jackie and Stacy Show, and I'm Stacy's son, Clark, and here to tell you about it. There are two women wrestling with things of this broken and beautiful life. Each week, they will tackle a topic in a transparent, sometimes distracted, but always fun way that hopefully encourages and challenges you. They will break down each topic by looking at it through four lenses: ourselves, God, our people, and our community. They will then give you a task to go forth with. Vaya con Dios.
Welcome to the Jackie and Stacy Show. I'm Stacy.
And I'm Jackie.
And we are talking about agency this month. Agency. Your control. The stuff that you can control.
The stuff that you can control. Choices you make.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And, you know, how to affect agency in your life, or just practice it, I guess. And so we talked already about, this is our third episode.
Yep.
And we will be looking at how agency impacts how we show up in close relationships. We've already talked about faith in our last episode, and we talked more generally speaking and really personally about ourselves in our first episode. That's how we do. And so today we're going to be, gosh, right? We kind of springboarded last time. Like, there's this stuff that happens in the world. And so agency is how we respond, really. This is what we're going to do from there on. Some close relationships.
Although it's not always a response, right? Like, agency in the morning, for example, can be just like simply, well, I guess I'm responding to the new morning. Like, am I going to get out of bed or am I going to stay in bed?
Yeah,
am
it's
I gonna,
constant choices.
Yeah, 100% of your day is agency, right?
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes...
Well, sometimes it's response and sometimes it's... What's the opposite of
initiation?
Initiating.
I don't know.
Ooh, that's a good word.
I don't know.
I like that.
I like it too. It works.
Yeah.
It works for me.
Okay. Response and initiation.
And, you know, every time we have these conversations, which we love, we enjoy, right? If you take agency and you take close relationships, there are literally 10 million different directions that we could go with this conversation, right?
Yes. Absolutely.
And at different depths and... whatever. So, I'm kind of going to take some liberty here because I want to talk about agency and teaching and modeling agency to our children.
Okay.
That's the direction I want to go with this conversation, if that's okay with you.
That's great.
Because it's something we have talked about, you and I, just like personally, and it's something I feel really strongly about. And since our children are, for us, one of our closest relationships, I think that it fits. What do you think?
Yep. Okay. I like that.
So
I like zoning.
Yeah. You're really niching. We're niching down.
There you go.
That word niche, like, it's such an interesting word. People say it all the time. Like, how do you say that word? Niche. People say niche.
I just don't say it.
Okay. That works too. I'm not even sure.
And I don't know how to pronounce
the
things.
The reason I'm asking is because I'm not sure. I think I'm saying niche correctly, but I could totally be wrong. So you can correct me if I'm wrong.
I constantly feel like Elmer Fudd when he's like, and then he just picks a different word to say instead. niche. Narrowing things down.
Exactly. Okay. So I think the first question to ask ourselves, if we're going to consider how to teach agency, how to model agency for our kids, and for us, it's like middle-aged teens, right? I think that the big question to ask is like, well, why does that even matter? Why does it even matter?
Oh my gosh. Do you want me to answer
that? Please, bring it on.
I think it matters because we're not raising children. We are raising adults.
Yeah.
We're trying to help our kids to be independent,
empowered.
Yes, absolutely. We want them to survive in the real world.
To contribute, you know,
to be contributing members of society. Yes. And to be able to practice agency on their own and discover their world and discover themselves and what they want to do in the world. I mean, autonomy. They've been practicing it since they were, what, 1.5, 2?
Right. And I think, to your point, like, agency matters for decision making, right? It matters for personal growth. It matters for resilience. Mm-hmm. Like, you have to resilience is huge as I look around at teenagers that I encounter. Like you said, preparation for adulthood, it's just like, it's empowering, enhances all of those things. And so it's super, super important. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I think as parents, let's talk about this for a little bit, it can be really tempting to limit our kids' agency. Mm-hmm. Do you ever feel that way?
Oh, from the beginning of time. I mean, if you think about we have teenagers now.
Yep.
And young adults.
Yes.
And when they're small and it's a mess, they've opened up the box of the basket of Legos or whatever, and it's everywhere. It's just all over. You know what's easier right then is for you to pick it all up rather than go through the teaching and the modeling of, it is harder to teach someone how to fish than it is to just give them a fish.
Full stop, girl. I think we need to sit here for a while. It is way easier. It's way easier to just do it yourself. Mm-hmm. And take their agency away.
And do it right.
Do it right.
Do it right the first time.
Yes. It is way easier. And I hear parents kind of use that all the time to explain why they don't allow their kids to do whatever the thing is. It's like, well, they don't make their bed right, so I just do it in the morning. Eventually they can make their own bed, you know? Mm. Or, they don't load the dishwasher right, so I just do it because it's way easier, it's faster, you know? Like, I hear that reasoning a lot when talking to parents because it's true. It's just true.
Yeah.
From the time that they're little all the way till the time that they're big. But I will tell you, I don't think my mom listens to our podcast. So, Mom, if you do, there's so much grace heaped upon us. But out of love, that is exactly how my parents parented me.
Which is so amazing that every time, because I love you and I adore you, and you're not like a big fat jerk at all.
I was. Hashtag
it's incredible.
I was. Stacey, I was. Spent a really long time, and it's still there. It's still like buried deep in there and like rears its ugly head. And I wish I could think like off the cuff of some times where I'm just like, I'll catch myself having this like, well, I deserve blah, 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 whatever the thing is. I'll catch myself thinking that way. It has been like actively, like when did I discover that I was brat?
That is so funny.
I mean, because I will be honest, like I've always had like a sense of responsibility to the world, and and my faith informs, like, I care about people. And so that always tempered my spoiledness, but I was spoiled rotten with money, with things, and with, care. I don't know how to say that differently,
but they were doing it for you.
I never boiled a pot of water ever.
So what's great about this story is that you're speaking from the experience of the teenage kid, really, that was pampered and cleaned up after, and not, you're speaking from the difficulty that you experienced on the other side was, you did not set me up for success, because then I had to go into the big bad world and I didn't know how to do a damn thing.
I sure felt like it was not difficult in high school. Oh, yeah. And then I went to college, and guess what I did? I paid people to do my laundry for me in college.
What?
I straight up did. And my freshman dorm that I lived in Santa Barbara had cleaning ladies, so I didn't have to clean. What? Although I was a clean person, so I kind of cleaned in between anyways. Like, okay. Cleanliness mattered to me, so that wasn't an issue. But, and you know, you don't have to cook your own food when you're in the dorms, right? But, I paid people to do my laundry when I was in college, all the way through, all 4 years.
Wow.
And, I never learned how to cook. My mom will tell you to this day, she's like, well, I just didn't have the patience for it, Jacqueline.
Oh my gosh. That's how she says it.
I just didn't have the patience for it. And she has said she regrets that, and whatever, you know, all the love to her. She did an amazing job. She always had food for us and yummy food. And, but I never learned. And so it really did handicap, the way I put it is it handicapped me in my 20s. I was not a fully functioning adult. I was very responsible. So like, I finished college. It was a bumpy ride, but I finished.
Yeah.
And in 4 years. And then I, you know, launched my career as an educator and did really, really well as a leader right away in my career. But it was hard relationally. I couldn't interact with my peers in an adult way because I just wasn't. I wasn't a fully functioning adult because I was stunted by that. Mm. Definitely stunted. And it took my 20s and all of my 30s, and probably Mike would tell you, way into my 50s.
Oh, that's funny, because you're in your 50s right now.
Right. To make up for that. It really did. And so I think as you and I have spoken, like, you had the opposite experience.
Oh, yeah. Big time. Well, that's what people will say to me and, you know, first-time listeners. I have four sisters and a brother, and we did not have any of that. We didn't, like, I didn't go to college right away, even though I behaved in school
and
because
you could have, yes.
School was an amazing structure for me.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it was like that. I worked hard and I got the rewards and I was a student athlete and et cetera. I applied to college. I got in, but I didn't go because I didn't know how to go. Like, I didn't know what to do and I didn't know how to ask for help.
Right.
I had to learn that. That is a skill that I didn't know then that I had to learn. But my sisters and I are all really, like,
scrappy.
Scrappy. We are scrappy. That's scrappy. The good word. So I kind of have the opposite where I, you know, had to take care of myself, but it was an opposite abandonment where I felt like I was super responsible and in charge of everything and had full agency of the entire world when I was 18 years old and I thought I knew everything because I had to do everything.
Right.
So I've had to kind of like
unlearn that
and ask for help and ask for people to come help care for me. I'm learning that now.
Okay.
Whereas I can do it all on my own. And yeah. I really have a chip on my shoulder.
Yeah.
And I always have because of that, this experience. Yeah.
I mean, at the risk of, I mean, I hope this isn't offensive, but you really were neglected.
Yeah. I think a little bit. I think we were.
So there's some trauma that's wrapped up in that.
Yeah.
And that's a whole different thing that does require some like healing, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. So just to acknowledge that for you, I don't mean to condemn anyone.
No. I mean, I think my mom did the best that she could also. I think all of us are really doing the best. I truly do believe that after some convincing of reading lots and lots of books, I am convinced that people are really doing the best they can with what they have right now.
Yeah. That's true.
Even people who are doing real bad stuff, like, they're just doing the best they can. I actually fully subscribe to that. Whereas if you asked me that even 5 years ago, I would have been like, absolutely not.
Interesting.
People are terrible.
Interesting. That's so fascinating.
I blame people.
Well, and you and I, ironically, having come from very different upbringings, have arrived at very similar places with regard to how we teach our kids agency.
We do.
Isn't that interesting? Mm-hmm. You and I have both intentionally from the very beginning, and honestly, differently from most of their peers. Not all. There are a handful of others that do this too, but have really intentionally taught our kids agency from the very beginning and been really intentional to talk with them about what they own and what they don't and how that agency can be both a gift and sometimes a challenge, right? Mm-hmm. And would you say that that's true? I mean, we're not exactly the same, but we're similar in that regard.
Yeah. And for me, it came about in a different way too, because I come from a very controlling personality. Like, I think that I thought that I was like the greatest parent on the planet for like the first 6 months, you know, when the kid didn't do anything or whatever.
I just sit there.
Look at how great I am at parenting. And then,
I think
my daughter's personality trained me. More than anything, she's very just like naturally independent and pushed back from the beginning. And I think it was probably in response to my controlling behaviors. And so I think she has taught me a lot.
Interesting.
Which is very different. It wasn't like me just like giving her agency.
Okay. Of this gift of autonomy. So it wasn't intentional.
I don't know.
Oh, interesting.
And I think, but I also have the experience of being parented without a lot of, let me do that for you.
Okay.
So that combination of me kind of trying to control, but not gift a bunch of care. I don't know. It's just like, so I haven't really even
thought
it through.
That is honestly the opposite of me.
It is. We are opposites.
Okay. So. Fascinating.
Yeah.
Because I definitely do not want to control or even try to control things. And I want to do things as a gift. So that's fascinating. Or like, that's so interesting.
Well, I don't even think I knew that that's what I was trying to do.
Okay.
But I think that brings me comfort is being like, okay, we're going to do things this way. And I don't even think I know the depth of my controlling behaviors until I'm saying them out loud. But it's something that I want to look at. And I want to be aware of myself.
Yeah, me too.
Only enough to the point, because if I'm aware of everything that's wrong
with
me,
that's too much.
It's kind of just
too
much,
you guys. Don't pull down the veil all the way. Let's do it inch by inch by inch.
Give me some baby steps.
Totally.
So I'm just kind of aware of it.
I mean, I think parenting with the end in mind is such a powerful way to look at parenting. And it's hard because sometimes you don't realize that until it's too late. But I really did go into parenting wanting to do that. Now, I have not always done it well, perfectly, or even well, but like, if we want our kids to be autonomous, functioning, contributing members of society, we have to allow them to fail. And we have to allow them to fail when they're with us so that we can help them frame the story of how the failure went. Does that make sense?
Dang. That is so good.
We have to be, and ultimately we have to do that for ourselves, because we do fail, right? When in little and big ways, then we have to tell the story of how that failure unfolds.
Yeah.
What that failure means. What does it mean? And that's the part that we can do for our kids, even when they're itty bitty. Like, oh, that tower fell down. What does that mean? Does that mean you're a bad tower maker? Does that mean you should never touch a Lego again in your life? Does that mean Legos are mean? Right? What does that mean? So I think helping frame the meaning and the story that that we tell and that our kids tell is part of agency. It's a huge part of agency, right? What do you think?
Yeah. I mean, I remember, I don't know if I read this book or if I just like heard someone speak about it, is this, it was called like Parenting with Love and Logic.
Yeah.
And it was more of like a, you come alongside your kids and whatever's going on with them and you go, yeah, that sucks.
Yeah.
That Lego tower, if we're going to go, let's go with this Lego tower, the block tower falling down.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, what are you going to do now? Like, are you going to fix it or what are you going to do? Rather than, oh, let me clean that up for you.
Right.
Let me create a world that you aren't harmed or that I'm going to solve the problems for you. It's like you come alongside and go, okay, yeah, now what?
Yes.
That type of thing.
So good.
And I remember hearing that and being like, yeah. Because because what I've always longed for is someone just to come alongside me and not try to tell me to fix stuff or sweep the stuff in front of me, like in that thing that we see only every 4 years where they sweep the ice in front of
what is that called?
Thing.
Shuffleboard? Is that shuffleboard?
It's basically shuffleboard, but it's called something else. Curling.
Curling.
Curling. You know, like making the way for your thing to move smoothly through the world.
Well, yeah.
But all I really want in my close relationships is somebody to kind of like walk
be
along
in it
with me
and
like
be in the mess.
Like,
with
man,
me.
I'm here with you. Yeah. This does suck.
Totally, I agree. Well, because it used to be for a while, helicopter parenting was a thing, and then they said, what is that, lawnmower parenting? Have you heard that term?
No, I haven't even heard that.
It's like when you go in front of your kid and you just mow the lawn so that they have a clear path. You're just lawn mowing. And that's what I had. I did not have a helicopter parents. My parents, they were not hovering. They were not, but they were definitely clearing the way to make my life as easy as possible. Mm-hmm. But guess what? The minute you find out it's not actually that easy, your world does come crashing down. Yeah. And that is what happened to me, is my world came crashing down, which is when I really, my faith was really restored. That's when my faith became real for me. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, like I don't know what to do now because everything I thought to be true is not true. The world actually does not revolve around me. So Jesus take the wheel.
Listen to our last episode for lots of Jesus take the wheel references and jokes.
So I think recognizing, I mean, even helping your kids frame what agency is really, really powerful. I had no concept of my own agency going out into the world. Mm. So helping our kids understand even what is agency, what do you have agency over and what do you not have agency over? And then coming to like a place where you feel peace around that. Like I don't actually need to have control over that. It's actually totally okay that I don't have control over that.
That's a gift, coming to like,
right?
Just say, like saying that out loud and being like, okay.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
Wow.
It is a gift kind of like on the regular. Like, I just think of, I use this tool literally every day, all day. Like, I'm thinking the other day I went to a later workout than I normally do. And so then I had to come back home at a later time, which is a whole thing. If you live in Toronto Park, if you're a local, you know, it's like a nightmare because people cut through our neighborhood to get where they're going. And so to get just the
terrible
half mile in my neighborhood takes 25 minutes to go a half mile. And it's my neighborhood, and there's a part of you that wants to go, they don't live here, and how dare they, and they shouldn't be driving through my neighborhood, and this is not, and like your mind goes there, and then like, guess what? I could for 25 minutes sit in that, or I could say, I have zero agency in this moment. There's nothing I can do. So I'm going to actually let go of that and focus on what I do have agency over. So I can listen to a podcast. I can listen to some peaceful music. I can call a friend. I can call my mom. I can call my kids. I can, there's a million things I have agency over in this 25 minutes. Mm-hmm. But what I don't have agency over is the traffic or like why it happened or how it happened or whose responsibility it is. The snake. I'm not going to chase the snake in that 25 minutes. Mm-hmm. So,
again, reference to our last episode. Go and listen.
Go back and listen. So I think that that, just that piece of teaching our kids, young adults, teens, that they, what they do and don't have agency over, or also how to ask the question of, do I have agency in this moment mm-hmm. or do I not? Or we actually always have agency. It's just what we have agency over that's in question, right?
Yep.
There's mm-hmm. always something that we have agency over, even if it's just our mind and where our mind is going to go. Mm-hmm. And how we're going to respond and what mm-hmm. our attitude is going to be.
Oh, yes.
Right? Those mm-hmm. things we always have agency over. So teaching that to our kids is really powerful. And this is a tool that you and I have talked to, I've shared over the years of podcasting. And it's a really powerful one that I'll share with those of you who are listening. Because honestly, I know this tool and I've known this tool for 30 years. And yet still have to remind myself constantly of it. And it's metacognition. So metacognition is thinking about thinking. So, and most of the time, if you're with someone else, is talking about your thinking. So metacognition is such a powerful tool to teach our kids how to respond when we don't have agency or how to respond when we feel like we don't have agency. So the one I always use is disappointment around. So Alyssa, when she was, I don't know, I want to say 6, but that is a guess, maybe 4. We had purchased at a live auction a huge birthday party. For her and her best friend, Calix. And it was like a swim party with like, I don't know, all these cool things, a gorgeous cake and amazing, all the things, favors and all, like a huge party. Right. And then she got sick. Alyssa got sick on the birthday party. So what, 40 friends are coming. It's going to be this amazing day. And now not only is it just your party where you're like, if it was just you, you would cancel it. You wouldn't miss anything. But guess what? It's also Calix's party. So not only can you not go, but everyone's still having fun without you on your birthday.
And you're homesick.
And you're homesick and miserable. And in that moment, you feel like you have no agency. Mm-hmm. But guess what? You do have agency over how you're going to respond to that sucky moment in your life. And I mean, she's only 4 or 6, whatever it was. But still, I would set up situations for my kids because my kids are very privileged. But for them to be disappointed and to mm-hmm. experience disappointment so that we could talk about, gosh, that sucks. I feel like I'm so sad. And like you said, I'm going to come alongside you and feel really sad mm-hmm. in this moment mm-hmm. and feel the sadness of it. And also, what do we have agency over? And I think we like put a mask on her and went to the movies or sat by ourselves when masks weren't a thing yet back then. But like we went somewhere where we weren't going to get anyone else sick.
Yeah.
And she was pretty sick. I can't remember the details, but we managed it. But I really would like, or if something disappointed happened to me, I would metacognate about it mm-hmm. so my kids could hear how I was managing my agency in that moment. Like I have no control over what's happening mm-hmm. to me, but here's how I'm going to manage my feelings around it, my actions, my feelings toward that person. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'm going to pray for that person in this moment because I feel frustrated at them. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to chase that snake, that particular snake. Or maybe I do in that moment because there's a bigger issue at hand and I need to chase that snake so that it doesn't happen to anyone else, you know, but metacognating around that really helped my kids to understand what they have agency over and what they don't.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I talked a lot right
That's
there.
A really good practice though. So walk us through that. Maybe for like our Vaya con Dios, you can walk us through a little bit more of how to practice this metacognition when we're in that situation.
Yeah.
Give us like a few questions that we can ask. And I think you just said a bunch, like asking like, okay, what do I have agency over here? And what do I not? Okay. So
that's
what
the
I
first
always
question.
Have agency over. But it's even telling yourself, I always have agency over what I'm thinking about this. So how am I going to choose to think about this?
Yeah. Yeah. Who do I want to be in this moment? I mm-hmm. think is for me, Mel Robbins always says, do you want to be person A or person B? Person A is going to sit and stew and be angry and blame and complain. Person B is going to be like, I can't control that. So I'm going to distract myself because, and Andy Stanley talks about this a lot in his leadership podcast, like in between your expectations and reality, there's a gap. How are you going to fill that gap? Are you going to fill it with frustration? Are you going to fill it with grace and generous assumptions? That's a Brené Brown one, but he talks mm-hmm. about it too. He calls it something different than generous assumptions, but that can be a really tough one. When you want to sit in the frustration or the anger or the blame, coaching yourself around the autonomy and the agency to have a different approach is really hard. But okay. if you talk about it out loud, your kids will learn from it. And guess what? You have accountability to be the person B that you want to be. The person B that you want to be.
Beautiful song that you just made. I love it. So my question there is, what's the difference between agency of, you know, how am I going to reframe and like Band-Aid, and I hate to use this word, but toxic positivity. Toxic
positivity.
So what's the difference between those two things? Like, everything's fine. I'm fine. You're fine. Everything's fine.
The difference to me, and I would love to hear feedback from anybody, including you, who wants to push back on this, because I can tend to err on the side of toxic positivity, but I think the difference is, tell me your thoughts, feeling the feeling first, giving yourself permission to feel the yucky feeling, whatever it is, anger, frustration, disappointment, maybe all of them, but putting an end on it. So I've heard people talk about counselors and life coaches. I think Terry even says this, decide how long you're going to stay there. And maybe depending on the level of it, maybe it's going to be 30 seconds. Maybe it's going to be 5 minutes. Maybe you're going to allow yourself to sit there for a week because it's that big of a deal. You know, someone close to you passes away. Maybe you're going to be like, I'm going to mourn this person's passing for a month or 6 months, or I'm going to allow myself to feel the depth of this.
Or when I'm feeling it.
Giving myself permission to feel it when it bubbles up.
Yes.
Maybe if it bubbles up, I give myself 5 minutes, 10 minutes, whatever.
To go and have some space
for that. Drink some tea, feel the feelings, whatever. Giving yourself permission to feel the feeling. So not pushing the feeling away, I think, is the difference. And then also giving yourself an end to that feeling, because at some point, which you get to decide, you have the agency to decide when you're done with that feeling. But for me, because I feel there's a little bit of fear in those feelings for me. And that's something I've had to navigate throughout my life, is when fear is coupled with sadness or when fear is coupled with pain. Like I used to, when I would feel pain, I would be afraid it would never go away. So when I was able to decide that that's not a real fear, the pain didn't have as much power over me. So I think for me, when fear is coupled with those feelings, it's a different thing. So allowing myself to not feel the fear of it, but feel the sadness, but then telling myself when it will end, deciding when it's end, because I have agency over when it will end, and then deciding who I want to be at the end. What's the story I'm going to look back and tell myself about this moment? Depending on how big of a moment it is, I have to go out further. So if it's a small moment, it might be like, at the end of the day, what story do I want to tell my husband about how this unfolded? And that really is big for me. How do I want to tell the story of who I am? So if it's a small thing, it might be the end of the day. If it's a big thing, it might be in 10 years. What's the story I want to tell my kids about this in 10 years? Who did I show up as in this difficult moment in 10 years? Well, I'm still allowing myself to feel the feelings and give myself grace to not be perfect. I don't know. Does that make sense? Is that different than toxic positivity?
Yeah. Good. Well, that gives me, you know how I love to have like a plan for stuff?
Yes.
I think that's helpful for me, because sometimes I'll get lost in the, okay, I know I need to feel the feelings and I'm feeling them, or like I'm experiencing sadness right now.
Right.
And I, even saying that word just made me sad.
Yeah.
But giving myself permission to, okay, have a break, care for myself.
Yes.
But I like the idea of when the feelings bubble up, allowing myself to cry, be sad, caring for myself so I move out of it, and then telling the story in a way that, okay, now who do I want to be in this moment? Yeah. Like what you're saying. So I'm kind of taking that progression, I guess, is that when I'm feeling the feelings, how do I react and behave?
And you know what I think is really important in that, which I think we have to spend our whole lives learning, but I'm trying to teach my kids. No one else gets to decide if that's good or bad or right or wrong. Only you get to decide. That's where your agency shows up. So I tell my kids all the time, like, you're making this choice. What I think or don't think about it doesn't matter. You get to decide if that's who you want to be. And that's okay. So, because people will have opinions. And when they have opinions, it can be really tempting to question yourself or be angry at them for their different opinions, or feel frustrated again, or like allow that to have power over you. But I think true agency is when you're like, that's great for you, and that's not how I'm choosing to do it. Mm-hmm. Even internally, you don't necessarily have to tell them that, but mm-hmm. because people will have opinions, turns out.
Oh, big time.
Yeah.
That's when my favorite quote, I don't know if it's my favorite quote, but it's my most influential thing in my life, was when I read from Glennon Doyle that disappoint as many people as it takes not to disappoint yourself. It's something to that nature. That, yeah. And I finally had to do that, as it comes back around to my daughter, is that I was controlling what she could wear to school and out in public. And at one point, after we probably discussed it during a podcast episode,
multiple times,
looked at her one day and I just said, look, nobody gets to tell you what to do with your body. Not even me.
So that was your higher value.
And that was my higher thing, is that you get to control. And good I think job. By now I've told you, you know, everything you show, you're showing to everybody. You know, I have like all the things.
Right. That and I've it's been, funny because I don't think I've ever shared with you this part of it. Every time we would have those conversations, I would feel judged by you because I wear those things. And so, but it's okay, because it's an exact example of what I'm saying here, is that I would have to separate myself and go, my choices for what I do and don't allow Alyssa to wear, or what I do and don't wear, are separate from Cece's. Yeah. And so the fact that she feels so strong, you felt pretty strongly. You were adamant.
And my whole thing,
It's her choice for her daughter and her body. It has nothing to do with my choices for my daughter and my body. Mm-hmm. And I would coach myself that way. And so for a minute, I would feel that way, and it would be gone in a second, because I do want to have agency over my thoughts and feelings in those moments. Mm-hmm. You know, your opinions can be separate from mine, and they could be good and right. They're not wrong or bad. And also, mine, which are different, are not wrong or bad. They're just different. And that's totally okay. What do you want to say about that?
Oh, I just wanted to say you know, it stemmed from my strong desire to protect my daughter from predators.
Yeah, which is a really very real...
You know, that's my big thing. And then I realized, you know, I can't. If I just keep controlling her for her whole life, I'm not going to be protecting her. She's going to have to go into the world and be who she's going to be. And that was hard. That was hard for me. Yeah. And... because it, you know... the place that it came from.
Right. That fear is very real. But it was like,
one day I finally just knew that I needed to give it up.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow.
I don't even know what it was.
Yeah.
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 Because I do. I want to put her in a bubble, and I want to do all her things for her, and I want to control her, and I want to cover her up and not let anyone see this beautiful child of mine and harm her.
Yeah. Yeah. That fear is real, girl.
But you can't.
You cannot.
You just have to come alongside her.
What is that thing they say, like, a mom's only ever as happy as her least happy child?
Oh.
Have you heard that one?
No.
Yeah, and I think that there's some truth to that when our kids... I mean, that's a different topic, but I was just thinking about protecting them, because ultimately, like, the harder things for me are protecting them from, like, heartache or rejection or, like, but... they do. They go through it. And that's why having multiple kids is even harder. Like, right? Because if you have, like, 6 or 7 kids, somebody's always going to be sad, right? I'm like, you're just having 3. But every once in a while, all 3 of them are, like, thriving and happy. And I'm like, this feels good.
And they're thriving and happy because they have the agency to do so.
Look at you wrapping that one up. Nice job.
So this is a good conversation and eye-opening for me. And I'm just constantly learning, and I'm grateful for this because, whew.
And these conversations go in all sorts of different ways, right? Yeah. I'm not sure we landed where we thought we were going to land, but that's okay. That's the beauty of it. That's the beauty. So I guess, here's what I would say for that, Viacondius. It's just consider... if you're a parent, how you want to talk about agency with your kids. That's it. Just consider it. And have some conversations.
That's great.
Yeah. All right. Thanks for being with us, you guys. We love you. We're grateful for you. And vaya con Dios.